This is Morning Edition. I'm Will Michaels. Today, the United States Supreme Court will turn its attention to North Carolina. Arguments will be made before the High Court this morning about whether North Carolina's congressional boundaries are too partisan. A panel of federal judges struck down political maps for the state's U.S. House seats last year, ruling them to be unconstitutional partisan gerrymanders. WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry will be in the Supreme Court chambers today, but he's with me now to provide some context. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Will.
As of now, the Supreme Court has not weighed in on whether political maps can be overly partisan. There has been plenty of litigation over redistricting in this state. And important note here, this is a challenge to the federal U.S. House maps and not state legislative districts, right? Can you bring us up to date from 2011, how this all came together?
How much time do you have?
Yeah. Because
of all the litigation around here, it can be dizzying at times. There have been state legislative and federal gerrymandering challenges. There have been racial challenges and partisan challenges. This is a partisan federal challenge. Partisan gerrymandering is a tradition in American politics that goes back more than 200 years now, all the way to Governor of Massachusetts, Elbridge Gerry. He's the namesake for gerrymandering in the early 1800s. So this is something that has long been done by both parties. That's just an important note here, because what we're potentially talking about in a ruling could be a major decision. Listeners may remember Wisconsin. There was a big challenge that came out of the state of Wisconsin, and there was a lot of thought. I think there was some energy on the left about this could be the end, or this could provide some new framework for how partisan gerrymandering can be in this country. But of course, the Supreme Court punted on that. Then in North Carolina, there was this challenge to these maps that were redrawn in 2016 because they were deemed to be illegal racial gerrymanders. So they drew the maps again, the state legislature here in North Carolina did, and they were again determined to be unconstitutional by the federal bench, but not because of racial bias, because of partisan bias. So first time that's ever happened in the United States history on the bench.
As you've said, there are a lot of lawsuits regarding gerrymandering, not just in North Carolina, but North Carolina is on the national stage now because the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing this case. In this case, who are the plaintiffs and what are they arguing?
It's the League of Women Voters, which are challenging the partisan nature of these maps from 2016. What the attorneys are going to contend in the court is that this is a violation. These maps are so gerrymandered from, again, a partisan standpoint that they violate the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and the 14th Amendment, which is the Equal Protection Clause. So the First and the 14th will be front and center when we hear from Allison Riggs in the courtroom. She's an attorney for the plaintiffs. And one of the things that she has talked about is what she calls a smoking gun. So there's a Republican lawmaker from Harnett County who's on the House side. And when they had to redraw these maps 3 years ago, he openly said, I am drawing this to give 10 Republicans the opportunity and the likelihood to win and 3 Democrats the chance to win. And the reason I, the lawmaker, am doing that is because I haven't found a way with all the various criteria to give an 11-2 advantage for Republicans. Riggs says that that statement really embodies the moment we're in, and that partisanship has gone too far, and it's time for some sort of restraints to be put on these maps.
But because partisan gerrymandering has long been held as legal. So who is defending the maps?
So the defendants are effectively the legislators. David Lewis, that lawmaker from Harnett County who I just mentioned. The attorney is a guy by the name of Paul Clement. He's a former U.S. Solicitor General under George W. Bush. You know, I think we're going to hear not only about the precedent, the drastic shift that this could be if the court were to weigh in on this and affirm the lower court's ruling, and also that it could open Pandora's box to a lot more litigation as it pertains to partisan gerrymandering.
On the topic of partisan gerrymandering, just how partisan are these maps? In other words, how much of the vote did each party get, and then how many representatives did each party get?
Well, I think the most concise way to package it is to note that Republican congressional candidates got just more than 50% of all the votes cast in 2018. And the Republican candidates won 77% of the seats that were in play. That speaks to the efficiency gap, and that is a new metric, a new way that folks are looking at just how gerrymandered things are. So on one side, you have more advanced equipment and a greater detail of selectivity when you draw political maps, and you can be much more specific in the maps you're drawing. And on the flip side, the folks who would like to see independent redistricting, the folks who would like to have slightly more fair maps, say that we now have metrics to demonstrate just how unfair some of these maps have become. And I will cite a political science professor who I just kind of threw this question out to one day. I said, so just how gerrymandered are North Carolina's maps? He didn't miss a beat. This was Chris Cooper from Western Carolina University. He said, we have the most gerrymandered maps in the country. So depending on the metric you're looking at or who you're talking to, nobody's going to deny that North Carolina has among the most gerrymandered maps.
You just talked about how this could open up to many more lawsuits being filed, depending on how the justices rule here. But what about the practical applications? What could happen with these maps?
I think it's important to note that this court is slightly different than the one that heard that Wisconsin case, because Justice Kavanaugh is here. Justice Kennedy is gone. They could affirm the lower court ruling. They could overrule it. They could find a lack of justiciability, which would effectively mean that this isn't an issue for the federal courts to weigh in on at all because they don't have the authority to do so. The expectation from the legal folks I've talked to is that if they do affirm the lower court ruling, it would be narrow, and it might provide a specific remedy for North Carolina or something that might provide guidelines for the Fourth Circuit jurisdiction, which is the Carolinas, the Virginias, and Maryland. Supreme Court justices have also previously shown something of a wariness to really weigh in on partisan gerrymandering, because if they were to create a broad standard, they're opening up themselves to see a lot of appeals and a lot of challenges potentially. So we don't know. It's obviously the key question here. Conventional wisdom says that a ruling of some sort will come in late June.
And maybe we can glean something from what the justices ask each attorney today. Jeff DeBerry, WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief, will be in the U.S. Supreme Court chambers today. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.